Good morning, folks. I convene the House Education Finance Committee to order. We have a quorum present with that. Representative Jordan, have you had a chance to look at the minutes for April 15th?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Jordan, move the minutes for April 15th. Is there anyone at the table that has questions about the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. The minutes for April 15th are adopted. Members, we have a long list of testifiers today that we want to get through. So at first, we're going to have Commissioner Willie Jett come up and speak with us. And then after that, we'll start working through the list. Some people are in person, some are in remote. I will give folks a heads up if they're next. And we are going to keep it to 2 minutes each. Please be respectful for the person after you so they get a chance to speak. And we'll let the commissioner get settled. So with that, members, we are going to welcome Commissioner Willie Jett back to the Education Finance Committee and just settle in. I have been klutzy all morning as well. So go ahead.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yes, Representative Krija. Man.
Keep going.
Need more coffee.
Just very, very quickly, so we're going to keep all of our questions at the end, and then the only thing I would ask is whatever time we have left, just that there's 2 or 3 minutes for you and I to do whatever closing.
Okay.
In case we get
good.
Up to a time constraint.
All right. With that, Commissioner Jett, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Committee members, my name is Willie Jett, and I have the pleasure to serve as the Commissioner of Education. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to provide some remarks on your education budget bill for 2024. And first, I'd like to thank you for carrying nearly all the governor's supplemental budget recommendations. As I've stated before, these proposals refine some of the good work done in the 2023 session. Many of these are technical but necessary statutory changes, and no cost ways the state can continue to improve. Voluntary pre-kindergarten is a critical program to support our preschools across the state, and both families and districts alike are asking for more. So we're excited about the growth of this program over the next few years. We'd also like to say thank you for including the definition of qualifying services for English learner cross-subsidy expenditures, more clearly defining these expenditures such that district and charter schools are reporting information to MDE consistently makes sure families have clear expectations on how revenue is used at the local level. Other changes in the bill will provide more flexibility for grant funds to support the workforce to reach as many educators as possible and streamline implementation of various programs. While the governor's bill took a lean approach to this session, we're very encouraged by investments made in this bill that fit within the leadership targets, and I also want to provide some thoughts on some of the other proposals. Your bill goes a long way to advancing the goals of the READ Act from last year. Our team, we've been hearing from educators all across the state, and I know you have too, about the need for more resources to support teachers to get the required training they need to be able to deliver evidence-based literacy instruction. This bill prioritizes that need. It also rightly prioritizes many other needs around interventions, professional development, literacy goals, screeners, and instructional resources. And we truly appreciate the leadership and partnership of Representative Edelson with the MDE team and education partners along the way. I also appreciate the focus on improving student attendance. This is another area that we've been hearing about all over the state as we continue to face one of the great challenges to our educational recovery from the pandemic, engaging students and consistent attendance. We're excited to see investments in this space and look forward to working with you on how we can best leverage the great work of our Compass team around multi-tiered systems of support and building capacity and expertise around the state. And finally, we are absolutely committed to making sure all the resources and policies we passed are implemented so that we can create a safe and supportive teaching and learning environment for all of our students and staff. And we are all players in this game. We want to be good partners in advancing all the goals and whatever solutions the final bill provides. And we commit to working together to find the right path forward to make sure the department can fulfill those duties. And so we believe with limited resources, as a follow-up to the seismic work that everyone did here last session, and the reality that there will always be more work to be done, this bill provides a range of very good proposals to meet current needs around literacy, early education, English learners, attendance, and needed technical tweaks. Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for your work this session. I look forward to partnering together and just like to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Commissioner Jett. Thank you for your work as well. With that, members, I would be negligent if I did not mention it is School Principals Day today. And I want to thank all the principals that are here to testify, a few on remotely, and our very own principal here at the table, Representative Baker, for all the work you do in our schools. And Representative Eltendorf, I believe you have a school group here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I do have a school group here. Rise Up Red Wing, if you want to wave or stand up. So last year they came to visit me, and I think we just had like maybe five students. That's 9th through 12th graders. And they had so much fun, and they thought it was so interesting with me that look at the big group that came back. So we're excited to have you today.
Thank you with that. Next up, we're going to have our testimony. So as a reminder, we'll be timing 2 minutes. So that please be respectful not only of the person testifying after you, but so that we can have a few questions or comments at the end. With that, first up, we have Valerie Doslin, and then remotely, Sarah Woliak, and then next, and then Scott Kernquist. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Doslin, and I am here on behalf of two clients. First of all, is the Minnesota Association of School Administrators, which are the school superintendents, curriculum directors, and other administrators throughout the state. I first want to thank the committee and the staff for your time and availability of the session to hear from our members about issues and interests throughout the session. Regarding the supplemental budget bill, I want to highlight some key areas of support. First, MASA greatly appreciates the REDAX provisions, and a big thanks to Representative Edelson for all her work to bring stakeholders together and work through this. Those proposals specifically are 1, extending the professional development timelines, 2, expanding the uses of literacy aid, 3, additional funding to support teachers as they complete the required training, and lastly, the new flexibility to use one-time funding so districts can meet the requirements of the READ Act or literacy incentive aid. Throughout session, we have requested this flexibility, and we really appreciate that you heard us. Thank you for hearing our message and for the inclusion of these provisions. I also want to thank the committee for including a few other provisions, expansion of the special ed pipeline grant, the intermediate apprenticeship model, the reserve for student support personnel, and extending the compensatory floor. In addition, as representing the Minnesota Association of Special Educators, I want to thank you for the conclusion of the proposal to address the highly qualified paraprofessional requirements. There are challenges that we are trying to address in school districts regarding the assessments, and the inclusion of the provisions in the bill will help us make move forward addressing those concerns, and we look forward to being part of that solution. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Sarah Woliak remotely. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. This is Sarah Woliak. I am a DCD paraprofessional in Lakeville School District. For 24 years, I've been doing this job. I've been here in Lakeville for 18 years, and I was hired. There was no mention of being highly qualified or any talk of a para protest. I feel I shouldn't be penalized for something the school district should have worked with me on decades ago. Refiguring the competency grid is one of the solutions for complying with the law and not alienating the experienced workforce who has been in this profession for decades. I appreciate this bill takes this change into account. The work I do every day is challenging but necessary, and not everyone is going to want to do this job. I take care of everything from feeding, changing, lifting, transferring students, wiping their noses, and cleaning up their drool. If I am let go because of the highly qualified status, who will replace me? If this job is not sought after, and my fear is that with the highly qualified para requirements, many of these students will lose the only support they have. Currently, there are 10 plus jobs in the Lakeville District unfilled, and it's almost impossible to find subs. We should be deemed highly qualified to work with students who have the highest need. The language in HF 5237 does some key things to ensure that districts have the tools they need to move their relevant workforce into complying with these standards for SPED and Title I paras. The bill utilizes funding from the para training aid to cover the cost of the test. So this cost won't come out of the pockets of the lowest paid workers in the school. Districts are receiving training for every para in their district. I want to be clear that this is not an unfounded mandate, and I want to commend Chair Yukiman for championing the funding to train paras in the first place. Currently, the para pro test and para educator tests are only offered in English. Parents and the students they work with are some of the most diverse students in the state, and this bill will help ensure that a non-native speaker will be able to meet these standards. We cannot afford to lose any workers in this position, especially the workers who assist with the ELL students. I love my job and I love what I do. And now to be told that I might be fired because of the district's inability to do their part when they hired me, it breaks my heart and the hearts of my students. These relationships are some of the most important in these young kids' lives. It makes me sad for their future. Who will replace me? No one is lining up for the job, and school districts, the state, and MDE need to do everything in their power to retain the essential workers in these roles. I personally think workers like me, who have decades of experience,
should be grandfathered. Sarah, could you wrap it up, please? We have to move on. We're doing 2 minutes for everyone.
My years in the district should count for something. Thank you again for your time this morning, and thank you again to Chair Yukuman for your dedication to this issue.
Thank you, and thank you so much for your work in our classrooms. Next up, we have Scott Kernquist, and then if Matt Shaver wants to come down as well, and then out on deck would be Cynthia Byerly. Go ahead and state your name for the record, and please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Scott Kernquist with the Association of Metropolitan School District. Thank you, Madam Chair, members, and staff for your incredible work this session, and thank you for the opportunity to share a few brief comments about the supplemental budget bill. One of the top priorities identified by our board this year was to provide additional financial support and flexibility to facilitate the successful implementation of the READ Act. Our members are very supportive of the READ Act, and they want to make sure it's implemented successfully. We greatly appreciate the work of Representative Edelson and Madam Chair, and really all of the committee members, as this has been a great bipartisan work on this issue. The extension of the timelines for professional development, the additional resources to facilitate staff training, and the added flexibility with the $35 million allocated last year in getting those funds out to school districts to support the implementation of the READ Act is critical and greatly appreciated by our members. Another priority we had heading into this session was to extend the floor for compensatory funding to provide stability as the state transitions to using direct certification to determine eligibility for compensatory funding. It is critical that we provide that floor as we work to identify reliable metrics to determine eligibility for compensatory services. And I want to thank Representative Spencer Murra for carrying that important bill. Another longtime priority for our members has been to address staff shortages and better diversify our workforce. Accordingly, we appreciate the Special Education Apprenticeship Program for the intermediate districts. They have worked very hard on this initiative and are ready to provide a great foundation that could be used by districts throughout the state. Finally, we thank you, Madam Chair, members, that the bill largely avoids new mandates. As I have testified previously, our districts need time and space to focus on implementing the READ Act and the other new programs that were adopted last session, so we greatly appreciate that. Thank you, and we look forward to working with you the remaining weeks of the session.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Matt Shaver, and then on deck, Cynthia Bowerly. Go ahead, state your name for the record and proceed.
Chair Joachim, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Matt Shaver. I'm the policy director at Ed Allies. We're education advocates focused on student-centered policymaking. I want to start by thanking Chair Joachim, Vice Chair Clarity, and staff for another well-run committee this session. In particular, I want to thank both partisan and nonpartisan staff for being approachable, accessible, receptive to feedback, clear with communication, and never too busy for just one more question from a member of the public. So thank you for your work. There's been a lot of rigorous discussion in this committee this session, and the result is a bill with many student-centered and focused priorities. To name a few, we're thrilled about the bipartisan work that's been done to develop a legislative study group on absenteeism, and a big thank you to Chair Joachim for recognizing and prioritizing this idea and including it in your bill alongside two other worthy funding proposals to tackle absenteeism. It's great to see the Promise Fellows funding as well as a thoughtful and strategically crafted attendance pilot program. We like seeing the geographic variety and the requirements for districts named in the pilot to collaborate, innovate, and report out on their progress on what moves the needle for kids. Another pilot we're excited to see is money for student teaching stipends. As we've mentioned before, the conundrum of student teaching is that it's both the most important component of a teacher's prep program, but can also be the biggest barrier to completing that program because of the unpaid commitment future educators make to do it. Here, too, we like seeing the geographic distribution of programs. However, with the ultimate goal in mind of all student teachers, regardless of program, being paid for their work, our suggestion would be to open up slots within the pilot for the other types of PELSBY-approved programs in Minnesota, including alternative teacher preparation in private colleges and universities. finishing up with the READ Act. For a long time, Rep. Edelson has been hurting stakeholders with big differences toward a collective vision for getting reading right for all kids. Rep. Edelson, it's been an honor to participate and a delight to watch you lead and legislate. The bulk of the appropriation going towards stipends and subs so the training for best practices and literacy instruction can happen is a critical and focused step forward. Credit to you, Chair Youakim, for trusting this process and incorporating what's come out of it into your omnibus bill. Thank you again, members, for the opportunity to testify today and for your public service to our state.
Thank you. Next, and you're always right on time. Wow. Amazing. Right, next up is Cynthia Bowerly, then we have Katie Schuerman on deck, and then Eric Nelson. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed, and welcome back to the Capitol.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Cynthia Bowerly. For the record, I am the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at the Women's Foundation of Minnesota. Chair Youakim, thank you for including House File 3682 in this bill to create a statewide health standard, which will ensure that students across Minnesota will have the opportunity to learn what they need to grow up safe, healthy, and thrive in Minnesota. The Women's Foundation is a 40-year-old statewide community foundation dedicated to advancing gender equity and supporting initiatives that allow women and girls to grow up healthy, successful, and safe. We believe that policy and programs should be built on data, and that's why every 2 years we conduct research with the Humphrey School Center for Gender Policy to understand what's happening across Minnesota. We have 2 minutes, so I don't have time to go into all the data, but please visit our research report at WFMN.org. We know from our research that students across Minnesota are facing a lot, including preventable negative health and safety outcomes. The data in our report illustrates the need for a consistent health standard across the state of Minnesota to ensure that all students have what they need to make healthy choices in their own lives. We also support this bill because it will use a rulemaking process that will allow students, parents, teachers, health professionals, and other interested parties to engage in a transparent process to create a standard. And following that process, there will also be additional time for public comment and consideration. Minnesota youth deserve health education that equips them with knowledge and skills they need to make informed decisions about their body and health-related choices. With a statewide health education standard, students across the state will have access to standardized information about the issues that affect their and their families' daily lives. Thank you for including this proposal in your omnibus bill. Thank you to members of the committee, to the author, Representative Katitza Watoon, and I will just echo my previous testifiers. Thank you to the legislative staff of this committee and the entire legislature.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Principal Schuerman, Eric Nelson on deck, and then Brad Lindell. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
All right, good morning. My name is Katie Schuerman, and thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for allowing me to be here today to testify. As stated, my name is Katie Schuerman, and I proudly serve as the principal at Five Hawks Elementary in Prior Lake area, Savage Area Schools, and as a member of the Minnesota Elementary School Principals Association. I speak today with a unified principal voice to express our gratitude on your focus for supporting literacy development through the READ Act funding. I want to express appreciation for the legislation itself. The passing of the READ Act signifies your collective acknowledgement of the urgency and the importance of literacy and the recognition that it takes funding to implement the legislation. Reading is not just a fundamental skill. It's a gateway to opportunity and success. In fact, I recently heard access to reading proficiency described as the greatest equity issue of our time. As principals, know that our commitment to ensuring every child learns to read is unwavering. And as we embark on the implementation of the READ Act, we recognize the magnitude of the task, and we acknowledge that achieving meaningful progress requires time, resources, and financial investment. Many districts, and my own district, have implemented evidence-based phonics programs in recent years, and we've started to see the impact it's making on supporting students in their journey to reading proficiency. It has been really rewarding to see our young readers and writers flourish, and I have so much hope for the students of Minnesota because of the READ Act. I'm also really excited for the teachers of Minnesota and the learning that they will do in the upcoming years. I am currently, personally, two-thirds of the way through one of the approved Minnesota READ Act-funded professional development programs and can personally speak to the high level of growing I am doing. I'll skip to the end. The READ Act represents a significant step forward in ensuring reading success for all students. And I want to acknowledge your vital role and the financial investment that you played in investing in Minnesota students. Thank you.
Thank you, Principal Sherman, and I applaud you for also taking the training yourself. So next up, we have Eric Nelson, and then Brad Lindell and Denise Dietrich-Bendek. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. I'm Eric Nelson. I'm the principal at Checkville High School. I also am representing the Minnesota Association of Secondary School Principals. About a dozen of my, or two dozen of my colleagues here and hundreds back at their schools in around the state. I'd like to thank the committee and for all your work in supporting students, educators, and our communities. Your work to date is appreciated, and I hope the good work continues throughout the session and carries through to the final passage. We are folks that are back in our schools, we want to be with kids, we want to be in classrooms, we want to problem solve with the educators that we work with, meeting with families. Last year you gave us a whole lot on our plate as far as the legislation that came out, and there was a lot of time that we were having to spend sorting through that, trying to understand the legislation, and the work that you've done this year, both at the legislature and with Commissioner Jett and his staff, have been extremely helpful in helping us to be able to work with our students and to run our schools. The READ Act in particular, the clarifications and the work that's done and now the supplemental work has been extremely important to us. The Minnesota principals are pleased to see the House's support of additional funds to support the READ Act. This past winter, I attended a number of training sessions and hosted two lunch and learn sessions for Minnesota principals in the Southeast Division. The greatest concerns that came out of these was fears of unfunded mandates that were there, particularly the cost of substitute teachers and the additional days that were required for training in getting our teachers, our paraprofessionals, and all of our other staff members prepared to be able to deliver on the work that you did last spring. We appreciate that, and again, we applaud the additional financial support that you're providing. We hope that the additional funding will also allow the department greater flexibility in accommodating the training challenges for smaller schools with small cohorts of educators who may be struggling due to viability numbers with the training. I appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Principal Nelson, for what you do in your school as well. Next up, Brad Lindell, and we have Denise Dietrich, and then Rebecca Del Hunt on deck. Please go ahead, state your name for the record, proceed.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Brad Lindell with Schools for Equity and Education. Happy to be here today, and thank you for all of your hard work this session. I think I want to start out by thanking everyone for, you know, both the legislature and the administration for coming up with a target of this size. I think that even with the generous investments that were made last session, there are still needs out there that need to be addressed. And again, the $44 million is very much appreciated. I think the rest here, I'm going to sound like a cover band, and I hope I sing as well as everybody else. Everybody else's version has been to this point. But the money for the READ Act is really, really important. And what we hear from our membership, and there was a plank in our platform that talked about the need for more resources for the READ Act. And I think if you look at any kind of reform effort, you're going to need time, flexibility, and resources. And I think recognizing that in the READ Act this year and what you've done is very laudable, and I think as moving forward, it's going to help really push those goals, push toward those goals aggressively. Other than that, I think that the a compensatory hold harmless is also something that's extremely important. In Schools for Equity Education, it's not a huge issue, but for those districts that it is an issue, it is a very important issue as well. That concludes my testimony, and I thank you very much for the opportunity today.
Thank you so much. With that, we have Denise Dietrich, then Rebecca Delahunt, then Rick Heller on deck. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Denise Dietrich, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota School Boards Association and the state's 331 school boards. We appreciate the opportunity to share our thoughts on House File 5237 as amended. First and foremost, we want to express our gratitude to all the members of this committee for prioritizing the READ Act 2.0. It does take a team, and we realize all of you played some level of role in that. So next, we want to extend our thanks to Representative Edelson for involving the school boards in the discussions surrounding this critical legislation. We know this was a heavy lift this session, and it means a great deal to our school boards that their request for additional funding and additional flexibility in the funding was heard. This is transformational legislation, and we are very hopeful the results will be improved outcomes for our students statewide. And I just have to add a little asterisk here for those of you who are new to this committee or to the legislature. These discussions have really been going on for, well, since Representative Edelson was a freshman. So on to the bill. The Student Teacher Stipend Pilot Program marks a significant step in reducing the financial challenges for our future teachers. Paid student teaching is crucial for recruiting and retaining teachers. The pilot program and legislative study group are instrumental in identifying the issues related to student attendance and truancy. This work should guide future policy decisions to increase student engagement statewide. We are appreciative of the compensatory hold harmless provision, and we look forward to participating in the ongoing discussions revolving around that subject. And then, Madam Chair, the inclusion of the lunchroom furniture as an allowable expense of the food service fund will help us contribute to a more welcoming and enjoyable lunch experience for our students. And then lastly, we would like to express our concerns regarding the decision to eliminate the development of locally adopted academic health standards. This raises concerns among our locally elected board members. And lastly, Madam Chair, we would also like to thank you for meeting with us continually through session, hearing our requests to minimize mandates. And minimizing mandates is a deeply held value by our school boards across the state. With that, I will conclude my comments.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for your work, too. Next up, we have Rebecca Delahunt, and then Rick Keller on deck, and then Caitlin Snyder. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Chair Youakim and members, my name is Rebecca Delahunt, and I work as the Director of Public Policy with Minnesota Family Council. I will be addressing concerns related to the bill's establishment of statewide health standards and the removal of local development of health standards. Health is currently a required subject area in Minnesota schools. In fact, the specific health subject areas listed in the bill under Article 2, Section 7, Subdivision 2, Parts 1 through 4 are already required subject areas by Minnesota statute, and mental health will likely be required as well this year. Following the required health subject areas in the bill are areas that are already encouraged or listed as options from the state. Subdivision 3 of this bill lists those, and the statutes are included there. It's notable that line 25.19 allows for the commissioner's development of other expectations for statewide learning identified through standards development. So that's open-ended, but other than that, with my reading, this bill doesn't add to or remove any of those categorical aspects of health education right now. The practical change from this bill will be that the overall standards will not be developed locally anymore, but rather be developed at the state level. Local districts currently develop their own health standards. If we have local schools diverging from uniform guidance of the state, it's likely because parents, local teachers, and school boards are adapting policies and guidelines. We should have more trust in parents collaborating with local schools to adapt teaching with community input. Unfortunately, the passage of this bill could make school boards less accountable in health education to the specific community the board serves. We know that Minnesota parents want to be involved in their kids' education, and certainly health is no exception. This bill removes some decision-making from the parents and local teachers who are day in and day out educating the key stakeholders, students. Yes, health standards will go through the review process with public comment, but by and large, decision-makers will be centralized in the state, in most cases, far away from the school communities who are most impacted. So I respectfully ask for a change to that statewide health standard creation or a no vote on this bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Rick Heller, and then Caitlin Snyder, and then Shannon Mitchell on deck.
Hello, committee. House Finance. Rick Heller. Unofficially represent the twice exceptional Minnesota statute 120B15. Last year House filed 3299 may be part of that group. Also unofficially represent the print disability. Last year the governor changed the word handicap to print disability. Print disability happened in 1931 when the librarians decided to use that term. And then Library Congress Services in 2019 merged those two individuals, call them eligible persons, come to testify today on your bill. Carefully look at your bill. Any place you find the word disability, consider, think print-related disability, you'll find it at deed under Talking Book Radio that mentions this radio station exclusively for the blind and print disabled. Also for the listeners that are superintendents. Not only a librarian can certify a print disability, school superintendents, social worker, case managers, et cetera. You'll find that application there on deed, hidden away, I feel, on expanding the certifying authority. Line 7429, page 69 and 419. Think about the READ Act. Is it that we can read well, or is it that we can understand? Endpoint. When you come out of K-12, if we want people to understand information, be a lifetime learner. It's one point, if you can't read well by third grade, or whatever that might be, how do we use accommodations to the remediation and modification for special education students? So I did send a message out to these members. I don't believe it got online. I asked that it be put online for people to understand this complex thing. Thank you for also make sure that the record reflects that who I unofficially represent. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Caitlin Snyder, then Shannon Mitchell, and Colleen Keibel.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Caitlin Snyder, representing Education Minnesota. On behalf of our 84,000 members, thank you for your focus on improving compensation for educators, specifically the student teachers pilot and the strong investment in stipends for teachers as they become READ Act certified. We also appreciate the focus on building on last year's work, namely the language on Medicaid reimbursement for school social workers and language from MDE that lets districts and charters carry forward 1 year of student support personnel funds. This bill has some great provisions for our non-licensed staff as well, including language that Ms. Wallach referenced earlier in her testimony. We also appreciate adding paras to the Professional Development Committee and ensuring paras are paid for late start or early release days. One part of the bill that could be improved for ESPs relates to the special education teacher pipeline. We like the language here adding Tier 3 and Tier 4 teachers to the program. We have many Gen Ed members that are interested in adding a special ed licensure. However, we would encourage the committee to consider prioritizing ESPs as well after Tier 1 and Tier 2 teachers. The committee has an opportunity to make a big impact on the earning potential for committed educators and keep dedicated ESPs in our schools. A couple of other items: we strongly support funding for intermediates, engaging the apprenticeship program, and the IT funding for Pelsby. Our members crave the day they no longer have to send in paper transcripts to become licensed. We appreciate the ingenuity in sending the $35 million for curricula out now versus later, but with the number of planned layoffs and frankly how small $35 million is across our state, we would encourage the committee to further enhance this flexibility and remove the limitations on uses in the funding. We love a well-funded state agency, but have some questions about the grant administration contained in this bill. For example, 2% admin fee on Head Start totals over $700,000 a year. It would be great to hear more from MDE about having 3 or 4 FTEs devoted solely to Head Start will improve the program and help our students. As this bill heads to the governor's desk, please consider the other body's language on an educator compensation working group. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, Shannon Mitchell, Colleen Keibel, and then Sarah Gengelhoff.
Thank you, Chair Joachim and members. My name is Shannon Mitchell, and I'm the Public Policy and Advocacy Director at Minnesota Association for Charter Schools. This bill has a lot of provisions that we are really excited to see, as many others have already expressed. This bill does a lot with, you know, for people that love education, it can feel like a modest target, but this bill does a lot. Just to name a few, this isn't an exhaustive list, but as you know, many other folks have already said, the substantial funding for the READ Act is something that our members are really excited about, particularly the $31 million devoted to teacher and substitute stipends is absolutely critical for making sure this program moves forward in the way in which it was intended. So we're excited to see that. We're also very excited to see the deaf and hard of hearing working group that is a part of those provisions and feel that that's really, really important. The attendance pilots and the other provisions that look to address chronic absenteeism also feels critical. I'm part of, you know, an ongoing ongoing work that will be done over the coming years, given the severity of the issue. Paid student teaching pilots, very exciting, hoping that those can expand next year. The special education working group that will include an external review and the topic being looking for special education paperwork efficiencies that we could explore in a way that still allows us to serve special education children well also feels very important. One thing we would have liked to see included is the safety aid extended to charters that is currently available to traditional schools, and we would love to continue a conversation about equity and funding in that area. But again, there's a lot in this bill that's really great, and we appreciate the chair and members' work and the opportunity to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your work in charter schools, and we'll definitely be talking next year holistically when we have a TAILS target. Next up, we have Colleen Keibel, Sarah Gengelhoff, and then Julia Quandrew. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Colleen Keibel, and I'm the Director of Student Retention and Recovery in Minneapolis Public Schools. I would like to express my gratitude in being considered as the lead district in the Student Attendance Pilot Program. In 1990, Minneapolis Public Schools partnered with the University of Minnesota in a federal grant to create programming to improve graduation rates. This partnership resulted in a program that is now evidence-based and implemented across the nation as well as in other countries. This program is Check and Connect. In 1995, I led the development, implementation, and evaluation of Check and Connect in Dakota County as their response to habitual truancy. By building strong relationships with the 11 school districts served in the county as well as collaborations with county staff, we successfully brought the model to scale. In 2002, I joined Minneapolis Public Schools to coordinate grant-funded implementation of Check and Connect. This initiative started with two high schools and with minimal funding changes was brought to scale in all seven comprehensive high schools. When funding ended in 2010, the district continue to fund the Check and Connect program. 10 years ago, I partnered with the Minnesota Alliance with Youth to grow Check and Connect service at minimal cost with AmeriCorps Promise Fellows. Over the last 9 years, I've overseen our district's We Want You Back program, where staff provide a rapid response to students who have been withdrawn from school after 15 consecutive absences. Staff use every technique possible to connect with students and families to provide sustained support in problem-solving attendance issues and reconnecting students to learning. My history with Check and Connect student attendance, engagement, and recovery is rich and diverse. I've worked on the development, expansion, implementation, and evaluation of the model. When Check and Connect was entered into the U.S. Department of Education What Works Clearinghouse as a recommended dropout prevention strategy, I developed the training model and provided training around the country. There is no one solution to increasing daily attendance. Each student has unique needs. Families often have multiple stressors and limited resources. Our schools need evidence-based ideas that are locally developed, show promising outcomes, and are deliverable in any setting. I feel this partnership across Minnesota school districts will energize districts in their responses to disenfranchised students and result in sustainable strategies that are embedded in the delivery of educational services and address the individual needs of the student population. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your depth of knowledge and work on this. We're really excited about the pilot project. Next up, we have Sarah Gengelhoff, and then Julia Quandrud and Jim Grothwald. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sarah Gengelhoff. I'm the Director of Advocacy and Community Relations for Girl Scouts River Valleys Council in St. Paul. Thank you for recently hearing Representative Holland's bill House File 3564, the Girl Scout Bill. As you recall, the bill proposed $1 million in one-time funding so all three Minnesota Girl Scout councils could continue their partnership with the state and schools in providing supplemental STEM education as well as critical social and emotional wellness programs. The results we have seen thus far with BIPOC girls graduating high school and going to the trades and college have been very impressive. With another year of funding, the Girl Scouts would have be able to continue these trends. Girl Scouts understands that the committee's budget target for this legislative session has been extremely limited. Perhaps in a normal budget year, there would be more financial space for a program like ours. We just ask that if there are opportunities for additional educational funding as the legislative session progresses, that you consider the Girl Scouts statewide pilot as a priority. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for your time and all the work that you do. Julia Quandrude, and then Jim Grathwall, and then Laura Mogelson.
Madam Chair.
State your name for the record and proceed.
Yes. Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Julia Quandrude, and I am the CEO of Serve Minnesota, our state's AmeriCorps Commission. I wish to thank Representative Edelson for including Reading Corps, the largest AmeriCorps tutoring program in the nation, in last year's READ Act, and for the changes you are proposing in the bill. For 20 years, Reading Corps has supported Minnesota schools with implementing evidence-based literacy practices. Reading Corps is effective in part because we combine approximately 40 hours of training with structured practice and with oversight from literacy coaches who ensure that Reading Corps tutors have a solid foundation in literacy and can deliver the program consistently and as it was designed. We also closely monitor student progress to ensure the program is meeting students' needs. Multiple rigorous external research studies have found this approach to be highly effective, and as a result, Reading Corps has been recognized by Johns Hopkins Proven Tutoring, Stanford's National Student Support Accelerator, and the What Works Clearinghouse. We regularly meet with the Department of Education to review implementation and outcomes, and we submit reports on our progress to the department detailing the outcomes and the impact of the Reading Corps program as required by existing statute. To avoid unintentionally duplicating these existing requirements and to acknowledge that Reading Corps training substantially exceeds the requirements of the proposed volunteer training in the READ Act, we recommend striking the reference to Section 120B.124, Subdivision 4 for volunteers in the Reading Corps section, which is Section 19, Subdivision 8C. We appreciate Representative Edelson's willingness to work with us to fine-tune the training language for Reading Corps. We are delighted to support the state's literacy goals, and we look forward to continuing to support schools in implementing the READ Act. Thank you to the committee for your leadership and for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you so much. With that, we have Jim Grathwall, Laura Mogelson, and then Dr. Justin Killian. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, members, Jim Grathwall representing St. Paul Public Schools, and then I'm going to switch a hat and represent Bell Management, all the education organizations that have lots of letters in their names, AMSD, MSBA, on a different issue. But we'll just hit the greatest hits. Representative Sensenmayer, the compensatory hold harmless. Representative Edelson, Rita. Perez Vega is not here, but her support for the BPK correction, which is not in this bill, but it's already passed the House. We're really grateful for all that. Those are things that were part of our legislative agenda. We'll have ongoing conversations next year. What I really wanted to focus on with my remaining 90 seconds is the Article 7, Section 2 and 3, which is the Medicaid billing piece. You started that conversation last year by enacting legislation saying we want to expand the personnel that are eligible for Medicaid billing to deliver other health-related services to our students. So when we ask that Maasai traditional greeting question, how are the kids, we know that the kids are struggling and it's trauma-related. We have Medicaid billing for IEPs, individual education plans, IFSPs, individual family service plans, and diagnoses. But the stuff that precedes that and leads up to that, we're going to get that covered by adopting this amendment that's in that Article 7, Section 2 and 3. It supports the state plan amendment, which MDE and DHS have put together, which has been critical. So we have interagency, intergovernmental, and it's a beautiful song. We really support you adopting it. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for teaching me more about third-party billing than I ever wanted to know. It's been a very long journey from 3 years ago until now, and very excited to get this finally done.
Let's, Madam Chair, members, let's bring it home. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Laura Mogelson, and then Dr. Killian, and then Natalie Geese.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Laura Mogelson, and I am from the Minnesota Association of Colleges for Teacher Preparation. I am here to express our support for House File 5237. As I've shared already in public testimony twice this session, teacher candidates must complete a minimum of 12 weeks of full-time student teaching for an initial teaching license. So for most teacher candidates, student teaching is an unpaid experience. Remember also that student teachers are undergraduate and post-bac or graduate students. So I'm speaking specifically on the paid student teaching pilot provision in your bill. We know unpaid student teaching, the unpaid student teaching internship is a barrier that can lead to people not even beginning a teacher preparation program. To that effect, we are grateful to the committee for moving forward with a pilot program that provides student teaching to some named teacher preparation providers. We know that many teacher candidates don't even begin programs because 3 months without an income is not a viable option for them or their families. We understand that this is a pilot program. Of course, the ideal situation for all of our 30-plus members would be paid student teaching for all. Our members are representatives from the University of Minnesota system, Minnesota State system, and the private colleges and universities. All three prepare public school teachers. This pilot will give you data about experiences of our teacher candidates and the impact of funding on their ability to finish once they've started. We also hope it will give us data about the timing for this support. And we hope that we can move towards a universal program where all teacher candidates can know they will be supported during student teachers before they're even in a program. Part of the problem for those considering is knowing that student teaching is unpaid. So we're grateful for you to continue to think about this within the confines. As I wrap up, I just want to quickly say thank you to Representative Edelson for her work on the READ Act and including teacher preparation, literacy faculty, and ongoing PD. And we look forward to continuing to engage with the legislature constructively around reading. Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you so much. Next up, Dr. Killian, and then we have Melissa Larson and Natalie Geese.
Thank you, Chair Joachim. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Justin Killian, and I'm with the Policy Department at Education Minnesota. It's a pleasure to be here today to speak on behalf of our more than 80,000 licensed and unlicensed members that are working in our public schools. I have two focuses for you today. We are here to speak in favor of the omnibus bill, but we have two focuses that we'd like to draw to your attention, the first being some provisions within the READ Act, and then the second being the provisions related to paraprofessionals. I would like to start by talking about the READ Act, and I can't echo enough what all of my previous colleagues have said about Representative Edelson. I've been part of this conversation since the beginning. To say that she was kind of a choir director is an understatement. It was like she was leading a gifted and talented camp of the best singers from Minnesota who all felt they should be the soloists, and somehow she got us to sing together. It was not easy, but you should all praise her, and it's been one of the best collaborative processes I've been a part of. Out of that came the money to pay teachers the stipends they need to be able to do this work, and I'm thankful that this body is considering that and continuing to work on that. We do hope to see stronger language that protects and puts some safeguards around that money to make sure it gets into the pockets of our members and doesn't get eaten up with administrative costs. Also, my members over the last week and a half have been raising a lot of concerns about some of the curriculum that has made it onto Carrie's list, and they are asking very legitimate questions about why we're further allocating money to Carrie when many of the texts they've already selected are not culturally sensitive and in some cases overtly racist. So we have questions about that appropriation. And finally, as it relates to paraprofessionals, these are our most vulnerable educators, and there's a lot of confusion out there about their qualifications and credentialing. We're not here to place blame, but we're here to say that we need some clarification, and we thank you for putting together the work group in your bill and allowing us to have this conversation, because we want to make sure those members are held harmless. Right now, they're being scared of losing their job. They're being told they're going to have to pay for all these exorbitant fees, and we don't think that's fair when they're the ones doing the hardest work, and we need them in our schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Killian. Next up, we have Melissa Larson, Natalie Geese, and then Sarah Florman.
Chair Joachim, members of the committee, my name is Melissa Larson, and I'm a junior studying elementary and special education, and I'm the statewide vice president for Education Minnesota Aspiring Educators, the union of more than 4,000 future teachers in Minnesota, and I'm scheduled to start student teaching next year. I want to thank Chair Joachim for recognizing student teachers and including several pilot sites for student teacher stipends across the state. We've heard for years now how hard the student teaching semester is from students and teachers across the state. Not only do we pay tuition for a semester where we're not taking classes, we also serve full-time in schools as another adult in a classroom. We lesson plan, grade papers, support students, and more while collaborating with our mentor teacher. If we can't afford to live, how can we afford to teach? I've heard from many students who have dropped out of their teacher preparation programs, programs where we graduate with Minnesota teaching licenses, because they can't afford to live during their student teaching semester. On top of paying tuition, many of us have to drive more than 20 minutes, more than 40 minutes, and sometimes up to multiple hours to our placement, which we have no say in where we're placed. The cost of gas, food, and inability to work our full-time or part-time jobs that we use to make ends meet in college has stretched us much too thin. While we should be focused on the important classroom experience needed for us to become teachers, this bill would reduce financial barriers and go a long way to make preparation more affordable for aspiring educators. 9 out of 10 schools in Minnesota can't open essential positions for teachers. Can't fill open positions for teachers. Our enrollment for the biggest teacher prep programs in our state are half of what they were a decade ago. We appreciate that the demonstration sites are automatic for student teachers in the selected programs and the survey language added in the bill. This will make sure that the legislature has data on how this impacts student teachers next year as you set the 2025 budget. This is a huge way that the state can show that it takes the educator shortage seriously and is making a serious effort for educator recruitment. Thank you very much for your consideration on this.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for being a teacher candidate. Next up, we have Natalie Geese on remote, and then Sarah Florman, and then Priscilla Mayawa. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Natalie Geese. Thank you, Chair Joachim. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Natalie Geese, and I teach second grade in District 196. I'm here today to speak on provisions of the READ Act within House File 5237. Teachers believe that Cary has acted with gross negligence in accordance with the READ Act and Cary and should not receive any additional funding at this time. The READ Act explicitly states that curricula has to be culturally and linguistically responsive, otherwise it will not be considered. This is explicitly outlined on MDE's webpage, in the law, in the rubric developed by Cary and MDE, and in Cary's own curriculum review series. There are only two approved curricula for K-5 partial reimbursement at this time. As we met with both curriculum companies, it was evident that Cary and MDE let the students of Minnesota down. We were able to see the cultural destructiveness instantly by both insensitive texts and overtly racist imagery. Our students deserve structured literacy materials that are high quality, culturally relevant, and wit and wisdom misses the mark. While MDE and Cary have addressed some of our concerns about white authors writing about Indigenous people, the publisher's solution was just to supplement two texts from second grade without changing anything within the curriculum. Adding a couple of titles is not a fix to this curriculum. There are also additional units where the answer to the essential question is, we admire Cinderella because she is sweet, hardworking, and never complains. Students learn about outer space from the perspective of white males. Why not highlight the unwritten narrative of Mae Jemison or the hidden figures behind the Apollo mission? This is just the surface. there are more examples of Native Americans being squeezed onto reservations. Manifest destiny. Student-facing passages with excerpts from the Bible. Please help educators and taxpayers understand why we would give $1 million to Carrie, the institution who should have caught these infractions, chose not to follow them, or would have let it go if a team of teachers who noticed the racially destructive curricula hadn't called them on it. I am fortunate to teach in Minnesota, where we have standards.
Could you please wrap it up? We're giving everybody 2 minutes. So,
okay. Yeah. I assumed that our Indigenous organizations were included in the curricula selection processes. Upon further investigations, I learned that not a single member of TNEC was asked for their voice. We are repeating history by having an absent voice. This should not be happening in 2024.
Could you please wrap it up? Thank you.
Yes. I support the overall READ Act, but Carrie should not be getting the $1 million. This $1 million needs to be appropriated for educators and students, and MDE and Carrie need to correct this problem and do a thorough job of vetting curriculum. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Sarah Florman and Priscilla Mayowa. Go ahead and get settled and then state your name for the record, and then you can proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Sarah Florman, and I'm the public policy manager at the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault. On behalf of MnCASA, I want to express our sincere gratitude for your inclusion of health standards language in the omnibus bill. MnCASA is a statewide membership coalition driving transformative culture change to address sexual violence through advocacy, prevention, racial justice, and systems change. We serve as a collective voice for organizations and individuals committed to ending sexual violence. The incorporation of health standards language is a significant step toward ensuring that all young people in Minnesota have the knowledge and skills necessary to make informed decisions about their health. As a coalition deeply invested in the health and safety of our community members, we believe that establishing statewide health standards will empower Minnesotans to lead safer and healthier lives. We thank you for your dedication to these efforts.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being so quick. Next up, we have, and final testifier we have is Priscilla Mayowa. And I hope I'm saying your name right. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Chair Joachim, members of the committee. Thank you so much for your time. For the record, my name is Priscilla, and I'm a program director at the Minnesota Alliance with Youth, where we foster the assets of young people, honor their voices, and prepare them to reach their goals. We thank you for the inclusion of the Minnesota Youth Council and the Alliance Promise Fellow Program. Thank you for seeing the value of this initiative in uplifting youth and enhancing their well-being and development into well-rounded, engaged adults. We also look forward to continued work in this important initiative in the days and weeks to come. This investments that you've provided will build our capacity to effectively engage with Minnesota youth population in being active participants in the political landscape. We will be able to engage young people in the Twin Cities, as well as young people from Byron, from Deer River, from Cloquet, from Wilmer, from all over. Voices of young people who may not always be part of the conversation and activities taking place in this Capitol complex. In addition, with the health standards bill in which the Minnesota Youth Council has been named, we will also be able to effectively amplify the voices of youth in Minnesota in the creation of the health standards, in the creation of the new health standards, and in the review of other academic standards within this with this investment. And as we at the Alliance continue to work to amplify youth voices, we'll also be able to offer our Promise Fellow model to more schools working to address the issue of chronic absenteeism. We'll be able to continue to work to foster the social and emotional learning of students, and this will help improve attendance all over the state. Finally, I want to thank Representative Sensomira for being a fierce advocate and supportive youth voice and for championing our initiatives. I want to thank you all again, and I look forward to coming back here to show our impact with your investments. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all the testifiers that took their time to come and speak with us today. Members, I believe there's also some letters in your packets, and we have a little bit of time here. Did anybody have any further clarifying questions on the bill or make any comments about testimony? Okay. Rep. Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank all of the testifiers. It was really great to hear from everybody today. I do want to address the last testifier. the teacher that spoke in support of the READ Act, but with concerns about the curriculum. I had just heard today, this is my very first time hearing, that they do not want CARE to do the partnership. And so usually members would come and speak with the author before, is it typically how it's present, and we do things here at the legislature. So I will work with all of the stakeholders. There are like 18 of them. But I will say that the first public school was opened in 1865 in the state of Minnesota. 1865. And we have been a state that has absolutely had racism embedded within all aspects of our state. It will take us much more than 1 year to address this, and long after I'm gone after this session. So this is all of our problems. It cannot be repaired over a century of things that have been Eurocentric. So I just want to make sure that the READ Act, when we looked at the curriculum, when CARE actually looked at the curriculum, and when we as a state said this is something we want to do, we went to look at things that would make sure our children know how to read. Now we're finding another issue, and we have to fix that. And we have, Senator McQuaid and I have met with the publishers. They are amenable to making changes to make sure that their materials reflect the diversity of our state. So I just want to make sure that we clarify for the record that this work is being done, and I will work with the stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Adelson, and I'd be remiss if I also didn't mention in the Indian Education Act that we passed, the American Indian Education Act that we passed last year that Representative Keeler worked so hard on, there is money in there for curriculum development with the tribes as well, but more broadly, and we're going to be looking at that as well. Members, are there any other comments or questions on the bill before I go to lead Krisha? Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think I took notes. They're good. They're good notes, too, if anybody wants to read them. It's a really good bill. That's what I conclude from listening and from reading these notes. So thank you, Chair Joaquin. Thank you, all committee members, and all the people that testified today. And also I know that all the folks that testified today were participants in this bill and moving things forward. And it was that engagement that brought these things forward to this level. And the House has a good bill. Let's make sure that that we have a good conversation with the Senate.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Representative Spencer Moreau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to follow up on what Caitlin Snyder from Education Minnesota asked about. I was wondering if someone from MDE could come down and speak to, I think it was in the VPK, the 2%, which would, I think by their calculations, about $700,000 for administration, and just would love to know. I think, you know, it was mentioned 4 FTEs. Can you explain, you know, does it take 4 FTEs to manage that program? What do you see that $700,000 going to? Just explain a little bit more about the administrative costs. Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, Shana Morse, Assistant Director of Government Relations at MDE. So that is an up to 2%. It doesn't mean 2% needs to be used. Excuse me, the grant program previously had no state funding at all. And so the feds do require us to have a coordinator position, and they don't fund that. So other programs have had to sort of subsidize just meeting the bare minimum of what the feds require. So that's part of the goal with the funding. Another thing is just looking at more statewide support. Excuse me, more statewide support in terms of what we can do to support Head Start with data efforts or things like that. It's not going to be, I should be clear, it's not just going to be 3 or 4 FTEs. That's not the goal. The other thing, too, is that last year when the legislature appropriated more money for Head Start, that's great. No additional funding for the state came with that to oversee it. And there was an expanded use that was allowed to, so it previously had to be used for a very limited purpose. Now it's much broader, and so we need to make sure that we have the broad support to be able to do what Head Start needs. We have had conversations with the Head Start Association and committed with them that we will collaboratively work on a budget with them on an annual basis.
Thank you, Representative Sensenmayer. Any follow-up? Members, any other questions, thoughts, or questions for the testifiers? Seeing none, Lee Krisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so just a couple of thoughts as everything came through here. First of all, I want to thank those that didn't testify. Actually, those of you that didn't testify, I know why, and I know many of the issues that you raised up, and that actually sent some reverberations that we should treat this as a bill and not worship the bill. It's a piece of legislation that directs the efforts of the schools and MDE, and there's good provisions, there's provisions that need to have work. So I would caution the testifiers not to begin down the track of worshiping any legislation. We are just doing our work. With that being said, I want to take first and foremost just to check off this so I don't forget. The work of Representative Edelson has a nod from this side, and we respect that work. This is a lot of effort that has been expended, and whenever you do hard work around here, that should be acknowledged. And as I said, that nod definitely comes from this side of the aisle as well. But to that point, I also want to bring up the important role of the loyal opposition. Whenever we work on legislation, whenever we work on bills here, we don't want to blow out all the other candles just so one burns brighter. And there's a lot of differing viewpoints. There's a lot of things that are up here. I want to call out the representative Edelson, as she were to act as a choir director, also needs the members that have spoken on this committee and many of the fashions to help formulate a better product. Senator Mir, Representative Hill, Representative Bakeberg, Representative Bennett, to name a few, who also have worked on this and have come up with ideas and brought things forward that, while they may not have entered into the bill, they have entered into the discussion that have helped us get to a better spot. And I think it's important to recognize that. And for fear of changing the course here, I'll even recognize the efforts of Education Minnesota. And whenever I do that, they usually change their stance because they like to be on the side of me. But when they talk about the ridiculous administrative fees, they are correct. They are correct on that. I will say, though, that on the CARE curriculum, CARE, you need to stand firm. Do not let the watered-down ideas overshadow the fact that kids still need to read. Kids need to read first and foremost at grade level, and they need to be proficient in that. I want to remind the authors, as we talk about the READ Act and how we've gotten here, there was a time when teachers in an ivory tower were calling out and trying to destroy this on the science of reading. And it was all those discussions around those and the groups here and many of those who didn't testify who helped beat that back and pave the path forward. And a lot of acknowledgments there. The last thing that I would say to this, and as I said, let's not worship the bill. This is a bill that we need to pass through at some point to direct the efforts and talk about that. There are areas of polishing, there are areas of improvement, and there's areas of really good things. But MDE and Commissioner Jett, thank you for testifying. You still have the ultimate responsibility of not being a pain in the neck to the schools. And you have the rulemaking, and as this passes forward, and we've heard it today, as one testifier said, and Principal Nelson from Chatfield said, there's a whole lot on our plate. And MDE, I would ask, as you take this forward and as you look at this, you are a primary player in not creating more work for our schools, our administrators, our teachers, all the way down to our bus drivers and custodians. And so with that, I assure you there will be the loyal opposition. We'll challenge ideas. We had ideas challenged among the testifiers today. And it's to make a better product. It's to make a better policy and a better budget. And with that, I would like to acknowledge the efforts of everyone in the committee and thank them. And thank you to the chair for getting us to this point. And I look forward to the amendment process tomorrow.
Thank you, Lee Tusha. And I would be remiss without thanking you for being willing to meet with me when our schedules worked, and for all the members around the table for the discussion. Sometimes it felt a little quieter this year. I would love more discussion and collaboration. I'm sure we'll see that in the amendments. But we look forward to getting a good bill to the floor and then having those discussions with the Senate. So with that, members, remember we'll be back here at 10:30 tomorrow, same room, same time for amendments. And try to please get your stuff to nonpartisan staff way before 4 o'clock if you can, and then there's a 6 p.m. deadline for posting. Keep your papers for tomorrow so they don't have to renew them. So, all right, thank you. With that, we are adjourned.